welcome to the 166th episode of the Crack Die Podcast.
Hot damn!
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, are we in a new season? No. Yes? Who are we?
Well, technically the season starts after we do the Q&A.
Oh, so this is the last episode of season 3? 4. So we're doing Shadows at Sundown of season 4?
That's how it's been listed.
Okay, I listen to the podcast. I don't read the podcast.
What? I spent so much fucking time.
Episode titles, who cares?
I was here. I know what happened.
But do you? Because I don't know what happened.
Every time I listen to the podcast, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listeners, if you ever hear me bring something up that we haven't talked about in a couple weeks, it's probably because I just listened to the most recent episode of the podcast and then we recorded and I was like, hey, do you guys remember this thing that happened? Because I just got reminded of it from listening to the podcast. So I listen, but I definitely don't read what season we're in. I don't know that.
I listen to when I edit.
Same.
Okay. It's not a contest.
Well, speaking of contests, I've gone down the K-hole that is Cameo.
I thought Cameo was with a C, Sean.
It is. It is.
Okay.
But I'm just looking at all of the people that you can get cameos from, and it's kind of insane. Like, there's a lot of good people on here. There's also a lot of people that I don't know that probably seem like they're famous-ish now, like YouTube creators and TikTok creators. But I will say, we can get a couple of the people from Letterkenny to come and do cameos for us.
Yay!
That would be amazing.
To be fair.
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 Anyway, so as we do at the end of every book we finish, so this would be the fourth book we finished, we ask for cues and we A those cues.
That just sounds wrong somehow.
That sounds really dirty.
Okay. We ask you for questions. No. And then we answer those questions. Actually, Matt, can you do that in the Phrasma voice?
Yes, please.
Okay, let me get my bustier on. Hold on 1 second. Hey there, sugar babies. We're going to answer your questions.
Just a peek behind the curtain. It's like 10 a.m. right now, and I can't handle this sensual conversation that's happening. Thank you, Matt.
No, you look dirty.
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Do you need new pants or something? Like,
I wasn't wearing pants, but now I got to go put some on because my chair's a mess. Gross.
Gross. No one needed to hear that, including me, your wife.
Aya, do you have the questions or else this is going to become a very, very strange episode of the show?
I do, but it took me a minute to pull them up because my brain just kind of broke at Dommy Mommy, Mama Phrasma. Okay. So we got quite a bit of questions, but the majority of them, if not all of them, are from our lovely, lovely Patreons. They kind of stole the show and gave all the questions. So I'm just going to go down the list. We have questions from Finder from Seattle, Doomsy from California, and Cass from Maryland. So let's just go down the list. All right. The first one from Finder is, what's next? AOA 4? 5?
We're just going to pick up where the books tell us to. So 4. Now, I'm going to guess the question relates to the fact that you guys leveled during Shadows at Sundown that we did, and that's fine. I'm just going to make all of the monsters elite, essentially, until the book catches up with your level.
My thought was just, like, leave everything as is and, like, lull us into a false sense of security because we're over-leveled, and then when we actually catch up, we're all just, like, screwed.
I mean, that works as well, but, you know, I'd rather bring some pain first.
Sounds good.
Oh, lovely.
I'll admit, when we started the new book for A&O, and we were easily dispatching wasps this last time, I was like, this feels wrong. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, I gotta say, when I didn't take anybody down to 0 hit points in that fight, I felt really weird. I was like, ugh, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird. Sorry to completely derail from one show to the other, but
No. I felt the same way, so
yeah.
I was like, this is weird.
Is this a trap? So if you wanted to do the same, we'd understand. We're used to it, I guess. Or at least some of us are used to it. Anywho, what did we as players think of the adventure? And then we'll ask the GM.
I don't know. That's something I'd have to go back and probably listen to it again to get all of it. But it was good. I don't know.
So for me, there was a sense of nostalgia to it. And I feel like that's more or less what it was written for folks who had played Crimson's Throne either back in the day or revisiting it, because it may or may not be my favorite. It's really good. And it was nice to be able to go back to Corvosa and to the streets and, you know, see NPCs that, you know, it's been a while since we've visited them, and see Sean do voices for the NPCs that were previously done by somebody else, namely me. Anyway, but at least that's my take. It was nice to go back. But in terms of like the story itself, I thought it was straightforward, I guess. And then we added our own little flair to it because, you know, tie-ins and fun stuff.
Like you said, like definitely straightforward. I think that comes from it being one of the smaller adventures, but it was still pretty interesting to get into the history of like another area that we actually haven't visited yet, despite the fact that we've been taking the Ayudara all over. I think it was a really cool, fun little dive into a lot of the lore that Pathfinder's put together for Galarian and everything. Goddamn fucking vampires. Love them as a person, hate them as a character.
I thought it was a really nice wrap up for the vampire that we've been running on. I don't know if there will be more vampires within Age of Ashes books 4, 5, and 6, or if Age of Ashes is just the name of the first book. So my bad if it is. And I don't know where this will take Ooh. This is very exciting for me as a character or person who's playing a character, because like what will happen in the future because of these things that have happened in the past? How does Ooh grow from here or not grow? Or what does she turn into? You know, like I think that this was a very interesting take for Ooh as a character.
Well, I did find it a little frustrating that every time we got to a castle, our princess was in a different castle. And that shopkeeper guy was really annoying. I wanted to punch him in the face. But I think the final battle with Ganon was pretty cool.
Do we play the same? Never mind.
It's goblin logic. Just go with it.
As a GM, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very neat. I think it's one of the first times in second edition they've gone back and referenced like first edition APs. So I never played Curse of the Crimson Throne. I've read it. I read it in preparation for running the little mini adventure. So I thought that was neat. I too enjoyed seeing how Corvosa has evolved since the Curse of the Crimson Throne. I also enjoyed that there was a little tie-in to Age of Ashes in there too, with the gnome who referenced the haunts of Razuli at the Long Roads Coffee House. I really thought that was neat. That's taking something that they've written already for second edition and tied it into another little mini second edition. It's also a good hook if you wanted to then pivot into Age of Ashes starting at book 3. It's interesting.
And speaking of just book 3, didn't book 3 reference one of the old adventure paths? The red or the blue one? If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
Reigns of Winter? No.
No, the demon, one where you're in the town and you're like...
Hell's Vengeance.
Hell's Vengeance and then Hell's Rebels.
Yeah, whichever side you're playing of that.
They're not the same story twice. It's one and then the other, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just two sides of the same coin, depending on...
No, the first one you're doing the helling and then after that, then the rebellion happens.
But I think it's really cool to see them like tying things up or even giving just more...
Yeah, I mean like the fact that they're working with continuity is really cool, and that a lot of these stories tie into each other, and like the world is a living, breathing thing that, you know, references itself.
And to be fair, like there's so much content, to not use it would seem criminal almost. Like you've written so much, just steal your own shit. Like,
right?
Like, got, like all of these storylines that already exist, you don't have to make up a whole new thing every time. Like you can be like, well, what might the effects of this thing been, and then write a story about that,
which is really cool. Kind of like you find a detail somewhere and you're like, I'm gonna tell that story, let's go.
Yeah,
that's something that I really enjoyed about it.
And also I think it's also fun as a player to be like, well, it's cool that one of my characters is currently doing this while the other one is handling that over there.
Yeah.
What's next?
Oh, for those of you who played curse, how did this measure up?
Well, there you go.
I think I kind of covered that.
How did it measure up? I don't think it's as good as Curse of the Crimson Throne, because Curse of the Crimson Throne is a different entity, and it's 6 books long. I really enjoyed Curse of the Crimson Throne, and I enjoyed this too. And the reason I didn't really give much of an answer before was like, I don't know how I would like this if I hadn't played Crimson Throne. And I just don't know how to answer that question, because I did. Like everybody said, it was really neat seeing stuff come back. But if I hadn't been there, like you guys who haven't played it would know.
I feel like it was a love letter to the players who had played it, or, you know, been there since the beginning of Paizo, since I think it's their second book.
Yeah, it's their second after Rise of the Ruined Lords.
Is it really?
Yeah, Crimson Throne was, yeah. Next question, yes?
Yes.
What are some of your highlights and or lowlights of the adventure?
I feel like everybody's highlights is Sean's voice for Cressida.
100%.
100p.
That was a lowlight for my throat.
You gotta get back into your singing training, babe. Like, come on, you should know how to do that without hurting yourself. Yeah, I just liked our little, you know, like detour into Brave for whatever reason.
I think one of my lowlights is, so this is the first adventure that I've run that was written post all the rules being written, because Age of Ashes was written during the creation of second edition. I wanted a little bit more information on the Strigoi vampires in relationship to base effects like the bottled sunlight. In the books, it says if a weapon sheds bright light, then their weakness gets triggered. It doesn't really tell me what the weakness does. It's just like, oh, they're weak to this. Like, besides the damaging stuff, it'll say like it'll put them into a like comatose state for a round.
Doesn't it knock them unconscious?
That's what we decided it was going to do. It just says it triggers their weakness and puts them at a disadvantage. But I mean, I guess it's purposely vague to let the, you know, the GM decide what to do, which I appreciate. But also part of the reason I enjoy running like APs and their adventures is it's a little bit less brain impactful for me. And I appreciate that.
I think some of the encounters were really cool. Like the fight in the cathedral was really interesting. A lot of these combats felt really tense. And a lot of it is because we maybe did not go about them the wisest way, but not that we knew that. But I did like a lot of the thematic elements going on there. Like it really stuck into the whole, like, you know, trying to subvert this cultural impact that Pharasma has in this area. And like, you know, like turning the bishop into a vampire, like that's like, oh my God, sacrilege, like holy crap. Like I liked where that was kind of all going with that, and kind of the red herring of Iliosa.
I think my highlight for that story was kind of like what you were saying, Christine, but the red herring of, I guess it's not really a red herring because they were responsible for bringing up Iliosa's shell, but the headmaster. And I get it, but like you guys were like, where did the student go? Like the fixation on the student.
I mean, missing people is not great.
Right.
Right. And that's because you're good people. But it was just such a throwaway line in the book that I had to like kind of embellish a bit more to add to that, because that's what you guys were going after, which I have no problem with. But it was like, oh yeah, the student is missing. Have them go look for the student in the gray. But you guys started interrogating the headmaster because you thought he was involved with the abduction. And that could have been how I was playing them, which is totally a fair criticism.
Well, that, and we kind of got into it in the moment too, of like, I think a lot of the general panic in the city was downplayed to the point where we're like, oh, this is really important. And you're like, no, this is a tiny piece. Like this city is on the verge of like, this is a powder keg. People are going to start panicking and freaking out. But hey, you never know. That's just another thing. You never know what your players are going to find and latch onto, and that you're going to have to pivot around. That's why it's a role-playing improvisation game.
It's definitely something that I realized during the course of, like, I've always known adventures never survive first contact with players. And I'm sure Matt can empathize with this with book one of Agents of Edgewatch, where we were just, you know, we were grabbing onto the wrong hints. But it's definitely something that I realized that I need to work on. And hopefully I can get better with that during the course of the next, you know, 3 books, to kind of give a better feeling of the world around you instead of mostly focusing on the events at hand, like giving a better feel for the world or the city in this case.
Yeah, I mean, I guess highlight was just revisiting a place that, you know, I have so much love for from previous game. And the low light is a thing that I think a lot of adventures suffer from, which is there's like loose ends at the end and there's no way to really tie them up. So it's just like, okay, well, I kind of want to know where all this was. Or you'll have people and you're just like, well, that was a dumb reason to do that. Like that kind of thing. Or you're like, I guess so, whatever. Because yeah, people do dumb stuff in real life. So it's not that unusual.
Highlight. Ooh, started to hit on Twin Talon. Low light. He ran away. Will Ooh get him in the next book? We'll see.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
I feel like Heidi has a list of everyone's character and it's just like, laid that one with a check mark. Laid that one with a check mark.
We're all just notches under bedposts.
Yeah, but you're just a line in a song.
You're all my loves. You just don't know it yet.
Oh, no.
Ooh, what have we talked about regards to consent?
Ask first. I would just like to let y'all know I did ask Twin Talon if he wanted to go out for a drink, and then he ran away. So I did ask.
You just didn't get a clear response. That's fair.
Exactly.
I think one highlight is the budding romance between Brianna and Ooh. And my low light would be that total lack of sleep. I just want to rest.
Yeah, that's fair.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you.
Oh, no. Okay.
No, you.
No. I insist. You, eh?
No, really. No, you.
No. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
I'm so sorry. Please go ahead. Sorry, I insist.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, actually.
That is something I'm noticing about second edition. Resting is a problem for some classes. Obviously, with the limited resources of an alchemist and a caster, they have to rest more frequently. But in the situation in the basement, in the catacombs of the cathedral that you guys were in, like, there was no way that you could reasonably rest in that time that you had. Like, everything is supposed to be happening over the course of an evening for the whole, like, assault on the cathedral. And it's just not, like, it's not possible with, because you guys don't know how many rooms you're going to have to go through. You don't know how many monsters you're going to have to go through. And yes, part of that is like, well, you got to learn to conserve your resources or have other options. But for some classes, it's so much harder.
Yeah, because even if you have certain effects, like there are some things that go off, like focus point pools, and that's 10 minutes. Cool, you get it back. But like when it comes to spell slots or like reagents or whatever, it's like you have to rest. So I have 15 things I can do a day. If I prepare all of them, I can triple my output if I do certain things. So that's 45 attacks that I have before I have to rest again, unless I start using my permanent stuff, like my version of cantrips. But that's 3 to 4 levels below my maximum output. So at that point, I'm just kind of like praying that they actually do something.
I seem to remember back in the dark old days of second edition AD&D, there was like a ring or something you could have that would like lessen the amount of time you have to rest. Is that still a thing?
Not that I know of, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that in my copious amounts of reading, I haven't seen it or I don't remember it. So,
or like that was an interesting thing that when I was playing 3.5, if you had an entire party of elves, your night's rest was 4 hours because they didn't have to sleep as much. Interesting little things.
But you still do it once a day.
But the resting mechanics for limited resource classes versus unlimited resource classes are oof. That's a balance I don't think they've quite struck yet, but they're, you know, I have faith.
Maybe they could do something. I mean, if they really want to like make it strenuous, they could say that like fighting classes and stuff like start to like degrade over time. Like, you know, if you're fighting for like 30 hours straight, you know, your sword arm's going to start to ache, you know? I'm just saying.
Well, that's the thing when you think about combat timing, though, because a combat, we rarely get to a 10 round combat, and that is 10 rounds is 1 minute. So like you're not really going to be fighting for 30 hours, but at the same time, yes, you can swing your sword as long as you like, but if you run out of spells or I run out of bombs, like we're shit out of luck at that point.
I guess my perception of time is a little skewed because it feels like it takes months to get through 10 rounds.
And, you know, that's one of the game mechanic things. That's the joke. You know, these are games where a minute long combat takes 8 hours and an 8 hour march takes 30 seconds. That's just how these things go. But yeah, it is what it is. You work around it. You do what you can.
Yeah.
Are any of you from Galt? I'd love to hear Night of the Grey Death. I'd rather hear AOA, but, you know, it's a fun module.
No.
No.
I don't know what that means.
Same. I don't know what that means. Sorry, y'all.
Night of the Grey Death is another one-book adventure, like Shadows at Sundown, but it takes place in Galt, which is another area in Galarian. And spoiler, like, once we finish all six books of Age of Ashes, I don't expect us to, you know, go away.
What?
I know.
Hey guys, this was fun. Goodbye. We're done.
Like, it's gonna fade off into the sunset.
Yeah, exactly. I expect us to continue on with another AP or whatever.
Yeah. So we could do another, you know, a couple rounds of the shorter ones, or dive right into another six book one. We'll see.
Let us know.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, this one is right up Christine's alley.
Oh. Well,
that's why I kind of want to do like the Blood Lords one next too, where everybody's undead.
Night of the Grey Death is a gothic horror adventure in the vein of Edgar Allan Poe's stories.
Ooh. Okay, cool. That sounds cool. I want to do this one next time we're going to do a little one shot.
The tales feature horror and mystery, but rarely contain extended fight scenes.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. I really want to do this one.
They instead focus on uncovering eerie truths and witnessing supernatural events.
Yes, I want to do it. Haya's face says she wants to do it too.
Yes. Very yes.
This adventure showcases plenty of thrilling battles, but higher than usual amounts of XP from unearthing secrets and piecing together clues. It's a great adventure to run on a gloomy night while playing eerie music in the background.
Bela Lugosi's dead, just like...
For Halloween this year?
Heck yeah!
Maybe, yeah. It almost sounds like a Vampire the Masquerade feel.
Do like an October like feature.
How long is it, though? Is it a full book like this was?
It is a single book, Matt. Thank you for asking. But I will say, it starts at level 16. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities. I just have to look at the timing of everything and figure out a reason why these characters might want to go there.
My point is that, like, this was one book, but it was, how long did it take us to get through it, right?
Yeah, it was a while.
No, I agree.
So, cool. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah. I'm going to write that down and put it over in my planning book.
So, thank you, Finder, for giving us that book. It looks like we're going to be definitely playing it in the near future.
Yeah, we'll be go ahead into Galt at some point.
How did the adventure change your character?
Ooh.
Yes, I think she should answer first.
I don't know what is going to happen to Ooh. I think she, at this point, is very frustrated with her lack of ability to ward off these vampire mind control things. So with that frustration of feeling helpless, I think she's starting to turn down a really sad and dark path. I think she's not going to show very much outwardly. I think she's going to start hitting on lots of other people and expressing her frustration in lots of different kinds of ways, though.
So we're possibly going like self-medication, self-destructive path?
Yeah, that too. That too. I kind of foresee that in her future. You know, sexy times are like also her way of sort of self-medicating as well. So I sort of anticipate that being
kind of like coping mechanism, even if it's not actually super great for her.
Yeah. She just wants to share so much love with everybody. Which is probably not the healthiest thing. So that, I think, is how Ooh has changed from this particular book. We'll see where things go.
Interestingly enough, especially because of a lot of the things that happen in this adventure, Soraya's never really been a particularly religious character, but I think especially because I took that exorcist dedication, which was a really interesting kind of choice just because that's what we were dealing with a lot, and she also kind of wants to be able to protect herself and her friends from things, but especially having so much of that kind of like Pharasman influence around, I think she's taking more of an interest in that now, and mortality isn't necessarily something she contemplates a lot. I mean, elves are fantastically long-lived, but kind of finding peace, being able to be at peace no matter what, I think is kind of where she's at, because she has the haunting visions background, so she's plagued by nightmares all the time, and like being able to at least help other people be put to a peaceful rest and find somewhere to be where they belong and someone will take care of them, I think is kind of where she's leaning with that. So the idea of this is where you go and this is someone who will look after you, you know, where you can be at peace and you can rest is something that's intriguing to her.
I think we're going down the line at this point. Knife sword.
Well, he learned more spells, and I think he wants to learn more spells, and I think he has a need to learn more spells, and just gonna keep going that way, you know, till he knows all the spells and can warp reality with the thought.
No, no.
So you're saying the adventure path did not change him?
It may be amplified what was already there.
I'm guessing also in like the desolation of not being able to rest, like, I just need more spells.
Yes.
How about you, Matt? How's Twin Talon changed from going back home?
Well, hopefully. I mean, Twin Talon had two siblings, older siblings, who were very accomplished in one way or another. And he's had his own adventures, but he's never had like a grand adventure. Like, I mean, he's part of the whole Age of Ashes thing, but it's like so far away from home. So having like a big adventure where he was instrumental at home was nice. I was trying to get some FaceTime with my brother at the end of, I think, last episode, but it didn't happen. But yeah, he's hoping that he's gained some respect from his older brother and his sister, wherever she is. And he just wants his family to be proud of him like anybody else. So, I mean, you can do anything you want in life, but there's just something extra good about like the people that you care about appreciating the thing that you did.
I appreciate you, honey.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Sean, how did the GM change?
I think I talked about this already.
Hold up. Hiya, how did the game change you? Because you're still a player. Yeah.
Oh, well, so a peek behind the curtain. This Aurelius thing has definitely been a thing that's been building up clearly over the past forever since we started the campaign. To finally have a face-to-face moment and confirmation that this, you know, guy that she was wanting to spent her life with is alive-ish. I think she's wrestling with a lot. I feel like she's maybe feeling a bit betrayed by Flynn, because at least right at this point, they hadn't spoken yet. She was told that Aurelius had died, and clearly that's not the case. She feels guilty. She feels like it's her fault that all this vampire stuff keeps happening to the group. Lots to wrestle with. Next!
Awesome. I like that. I wasn't taking notes on how to torture your characters more. Nope. Continue.
Oh, this one's specifically for Knife Sword. Okay, your question is why? Just why? With 3 exclamation points.
A balance must be struck.
That's fair.
Fair. Good answer. Good answer. That's fair. Good answer. Good yeah. answer.
Let's be real. Every party needs a Chaos Gremlin, and we love Knife Sword.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I think that's satisfactory, this answer.
Satisfactory.
And the last of Finder's questions, because we still have a ways to go, is for Sean. Do you feel invigorated going into AOA after this little diversion?
Oh, yeah. I am super excited. I just reread the first chapter of the next book, and I'm super excited. I think even though you guys are, no spoilers, but I think even though you guys are leveled above where you should be, I still think this is going to be a lot. I think that there's a lot of cool stuff in this one. It goes to an area that I'm not super familiar with. I don't know how many of you guys are, but it's a really cool book. And again, the whole second chapter is really neat. And I'm very excited to get to it. My brain breaks with some of the mechanics that they put into it, but it is super neat. And I really am excited about it.
Well, that's it for Finder's questions. Thank you so much, Finder, for that slew of questions. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Sorry, that'll never not be Steve Martin for me from
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Thank you. All right. So we've got a couple questions from Doomsie.
Hi, Doomsie.
The first one being, if one were to find themselves in Texas this summer, would it be possible to meet the cast? Y'all are in Texas, right?
Sadly, no.
Sadly, we are not in Texas.
We're not all anywhere.
Yeah, so we're actually pretty spread out.
Yeah. I mean, we're East Coast-ish.
Yeah, so peek behind the screen here. We were initially meeting in person, but then I don't know if anyone heard of that, this little thing that hit called COVID.
What?
Yeah, I know. Weird.
I know, just like this little niche thing. But
yeah, very small thing. But then we moved to recording online, which allowed us to, when we did have cast members leave, it allowed us to add Heidi and Rob. Heidi, I believe, is the furthest from everyone.
Correct.
And so we record online completely now. We use things like Audacity, Discord, and Riverside to record and make sure that we all sound as good as possible. And then, of course, we have our amazing editor, Nathan, who makes us sound even better. Despite the content we put out, they do their best to make us sound good. So
I think eventually we're hoping to maybe start attending some cons and stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of the future goal, is being able to have like a meetup or something. But no, we are all on the East Coast.
And generally more to the north of the East Coast.
Except Heidi.
Except Heidi. I said generally. I didn't say all.
Yeah. generally, yeah.
I'm around, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But hey, anytime you're in, like, you know, the New England area, give a shout, maybe.
Yeah, please.
There's a lovely little board game cafe that just opened up near Christine and I.
Oh my God, like down the street from us. It's so dangerous. No, it's just a really cute little spot where you can, you know, like get together and just play, rent a table for a couple hours. And hang out.
Oh, nice.
Bring food in and BYOB and everything like that. So it's really cool. But no, unfortunately, we are not in Texas. We are on the eastern seaboard of America.
We are decentralized.
I've never been to Texas.
So if you take one of us out, we can't all be taken out at the same time.
Why is there a red dot on my forehead suddenly?
Duck!
Get down! Where?
Oh, no.
Sean. They have a second part to the question. Well, I guess it's a second question. They say, also, you guys use Foundry, if I remember correctly. Do you use any add-on modules? Which ones?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus. there is not enough time in the world to list the number of modules that I have on here. Yes, we use Foundry. Just to give you an idea, there's about 83 active modules on the Age of Ashes game. And I want to say there's about 100 modules for the Absalom and Order game.
No wonder it was lagging. No, I'm kidding.
No, I know. A lot of them are quality of life improvements for me. Things like macros, and I have one on here that it's the drag ruler, which when you move your character's speed, it changes colors from blue to red to green based on how many actions it would take for you to move.
Which is really nice.
Yeah. There's a lot of really cool quality of life things. Like, we have macros that do conditions and things like that for us. So we don't have to remember, like, okay, I'm sickened 3 and I'm prone. What does that do to my AC? Like, it just does it. We have a nice little shorthand bar for a lot of our attacks and skill rolls. We have virtual dice so we can actually still feel like we're doing something. I'm sure we can post a full list if we want into the Discord.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had people ask me before. I will export the list. The first module you should get if you're looking to start into going to Foundry, there's actually two that I recommend right away. One is called Module Management and one is called Module Profiles. Module Management puts everything into a much cleaner looking UI, as well as Module Profiles lets you set a game, like you can make a profile per game, per each game, and just load those modules in that you need. Those are the first two things I highly recommend. But yeah, I can export a list and put them into the Discord because I know you're there.
Awesome. Thank you, Zoomzy. Now we have some questions by our lovely, lovely and beloved Cass.
Not that everyone else isn't loved or beloved, but lovely. All right, I'm going to go away.
Matt, you're drunk.
I was surprised.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, what does Cass have in store for us?
So the first one, is there anything your character regrets not doing while in Corvosa?
I know Ooze answer.
Yeah, Ooze answer. Twin talent.
Not fucking twin talent. What if I said something else, guys? You feel very silly.
Would we know? Because the other answer would be the party.
Yes.
I love you.
Not getting back together with Thousand Bones. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you straight up ghosted him. Give him back the cup. And you're like, bye.
Think of everything you never got whenever you see it.
You got 5 months of downtime. I think you can get at least 1,000 bones in that time.
Hey. Ew.
Getting downtime.
Oh. Anyone else regret anything? Matt, I think you kind of touched on it earlier.
Yeah, I regret not having more time with family while I was there, but other than that, I don't think so.
I think for Brianna, kind of the same. I think she would have liked to see Flynn before she left, but he was traveling, apparently, so we'll just have to do it later, I guess. Also, I think it would have been fun if they took one last like run on the shingles before they left. That would have been fun.
Yeah, except it's going to be like when you try to do something you do when you're a kid and you all fall off and hurt yourself. You're just like, oh.
Yes.
Ah, ow.
I mean, okay, it's not like you guys have been retired for 20 years. Like, you're still adventuring.
Right, that's true. But there is a certain nuance to running on the shingles. Like, and it's been a hot minute since they've done it. And Brianna's not as tiny as she used to be. She's now a, you know, she's a tank. I feel like she was originally sculpted to be be a rogue as well, and then kind of found Serenre. So
that just kind of changed a little bit.
She'd be falling to a town and be like, oh no, just slide off. wait, I'm not ready.
Doing like the cat trying to like hold himself up, like, no.
Yes, exactly.
I regret not having more Queen Cressida scenes.
Agree.
Do you though? Is that your regret for the shadows at sunrise?
So we know who's going to be visiting us in Breach Hill.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah. Oh my, yes.
A stately visit to Breach Hill by Queen Cressida Croft. How about you, Rob? Do you regret not doing anything Corvosa?
I'm sure he regrets not being there for the costume contest.
That's true, I do.
Oh, oh no, he would have won. Knife Sword would have won.
I'm just going to go as a goblin sorcerer.
You did get the official Grey Maiden armor. You could have worn to that.
Yes.
Just goblin in like medium-sized creature Grey Maiden armor.
I'd put my familiar on my head to hold the helmet up.
Amazing.
Oh, that's right. What is your familiar again?
That's for me to know.
Oh, no.
I don't know if Jasper's going to have a friend or an enemy.
Oh, boy.
What? Can't they be frenemies?
Best frenemies.
I mean, he's been with us the whole time, so.
We just haven't seen him?
Have I been shirtless at any point?
I don't know. That's up to you.
No, Ooh hasn't gotten to you yet.
have you eaten your own armor as jerky? I'm not sure.
I have done that before.
The bath sequence was when we came back from the jungle, right?
Oh, that's right. We did. We dunked Knife Sword. We did force him to take a bath.
Yeah, but that was before I had the familiar.
Okay. Then we have no idea.
All right. What's the next question?
Interesting. What does your character miss most about Breach Hill? Is there some aspect of homecoming they are looking forward to?
Getting away from vampires?
Fair. I mean, you know, Saraya actually hasn't been to her home for a while. She's got her little mountainside retreat. So I think that's going to be fun. Like, I know they've been back in between their adventures, but we haven't had like 5 months like this where she can kind of like come and go and be around the Citadel and where she used to be and everything. So I think that's going to be nice for her as well.
I think for Brianna, it was lovely to go back to her childhood home. In a way, it was bittersweet as well, but it would be nice to come back to her family. Like her brothers and mother now live in Breach Hill. So kind of just touch base and, you know, tell them where she was and what she'd seen and all that goodness.
This is a terrible example, but it's like when you go on a vacation, was a vacation, but like when you go on vacation and then you're like, oh, this was fun, but I just want to sleep in my own bed.
Yeah. I just want to be home.
Yes. Yes.
That's why I take mine with me.
Shut up.
The backpack doesn't count.
My poor aching back.
Why do I just picture Knife Sword getting back to the Citadel and pulling out a Murphy bed and sleeping on it and then having it like flip up while he's still asleep in it?
Because that sounds like a very Knife Sword thing.
I could see that.
Because he's not heavy enough to hold it down.
How about you, Matt? Is there anything about coming home to Breach Hill?
So for Matt, I would say that I want to work on the Citadel. That's always like a cool mechanic in a game is like you have a stronghold, you know, fix up your stronghold and do stronghold things. And there's things that happen because you have a stronghold. And they gave us a stronghold and then immediately sent us on a quest. And then we get back and then like we touched the stronghold and like took a nap. And they're like, you got to go somewhere else. So getting to just spend some time in the stronghold would be nice to fix it up and do the repairs and kind of make it our own place.
Why do I see Twin Talon as like the ultimate DIY like guy at home? Like, oh, I'm just going to do this myself.
Not sure why he sounds like that. All right.
Because Sean can't imitate your sultry fake voice.
Because all DIYers sound like that.
Yeah.
You're going to be the Tim the Toolman Taylor of this group.
Maybe.
Okay, so that was for Matt. How about for Twin Talon then?
I don't know. I think Twin Talon is interested in, you know, keeping his relationship with the goblins of the Citadel and kind of like meeting people in town. Like, cause we really haven't met people in town. Like he started there. He was actually working as a lumberjack when this whole thing started and just, I guess he just quit, never went back. Like we never really addressed that. So I guess he just didn't show up to work ever again.
I mean, it was at the Call for Heroes. I think that's accepted.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully somebody knows that and they're not just like, I think he just left. But yeah, just like meeting people in town. I mean, the whole thing was he came here to see Brianna to see what she was up to and then got roped into this whole thing. And also because there was a Hell Knight Citadel, but we've done that. Like, we've taken care of the Hell Knight Citadel. We kicked them out. We took over. So I don't know. I think part of it might be like making something good out of something bad, like turning something that used to be, I don't want to say evil because that's such a like a broad term, but something that was like caused fear and was.
Yeah, like something oppressive.
Yeah, exactly. It's oppressive. And then turning into something good and something that can give hope to people is good. And I think that's kind of where he's locked in as far as, because a lot of these things you gotta with life, I guess, do, but you gotta make your own goals. Like, things aren't just put in front of you. So that's his goal, is to turn the Citadel into a beacon of hope for the people of Breach Hill and in the surrounding areas. So yeah, getting back to that.
Good stuff. So the following question is also for Matt, or since we just ended with Matt, we'll start with Matt, I guess. It seems like you brave band of adventurers have done Phrasma a real solid. Wouldn't it be nice to get a very special thank you, all that is in capital letters, from Phrasma herself, by Matt?
Yeah, that'd be great. That's the question, right? Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, I would.
Dear Phrasma looked at us and said, thank you so much.
Sorry, Cass. My husband's a troll.
I don't know. It's one of those things, I guess you do it once, and then everyone's like, you should do that again. It was good. It's like, oh, I don't know how I did it the first time.
That's become your thing now.
Yeah, do the thing.
Do the funny in your real voice.
Hey there, Breach Hill crew. What? All right.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Trying to. Yell at me. That sounds better. Nope. No, I'm good now.
Oh, sorry.
Next question.
Well, good thing that we can isolate the recordings,
I guess.
Do you want to try it again, or are we done?
Hey there, Breach Hill crew. Good job protecting my temple. Don't die on the way home, whatever. I don't know.
Woo! Yeah.
Thanks, Mama Phrasma.
What I'm hearing is that Matt needs to make a cameo to do Phrasma stuff. At least you get paid for it at that point, Matt.
100%.
What's going on? I blacked out for a second.
He blacked out. Give him a second.
He had to channel the Phrasma.
Phrasma took over. Alrighty, the next question. It would be easier to turn back. Every time you step into an Ayudara, danger follows. Standing on the threshold of the next gate, key in hand, what makes you still take that first step?
Something dreadful is coming. I've been dreaming about it every night. And it's not my job to stop it, but if it makes the nightmare stop, it's convenient.
Ooh loves all of them very, very much, and she wants to see them safe.
I'd say for Twin Talons, somebody somewhere needs our help. And if you have the power to help them, then it's kind of, he feels like it's his duty to help them.
Yeah, I think for Brianna, it is duty as well. They said they would take care of this issue, and she won't stop until it's done.
As my Uncle Benjamin used to say, with great power comes great responsibility.
Wait, does that mean you're Spider-Man?
What do these boots of Spider-Climb tell you?
How about you, Rob?
Wait, we're going somewhere? All right, I'll go on.
Knife sort of just falls asleep in the backpack and wakes up places.
That's how he takes the first step, because Brianna does for him. All right, last question. Cass asks, what's your character's fursona?
What?
I love you, Cass.
Fursona or persona?
Fursona. What animal are you?
What anthropomorphic animal would you be? Yes, would your character be? Go on, Rob.
I'd be like one of those lemurs from, what was that movie?
Madagascar.
Madagascar, yeah.
The little one with the giant eyes that like wants to set shit on fire.
Yeah.
Brianna would be something small and armored.
I feel like either you would do that or you'd be like a mongoose.
Or a mongoose, yeah.
Yeah, I could see mongoose. Or like pangolin works.
Pangolin. So cute. I feel like either like, yeah, mongoose or an armadillo of some kind.
I'd say rabbit, but I feel like that's too easy. I don't know, Cass. Come back to me. I gotta think about it for a while.
I don't know. I feel like Saraya might be like a ferret. I don't know why. Just like noodly and mischievous and likes to hide things and squirrel them away. That seems weirdly accurate.
That's fair. I see Twin Talon being like a peregrine falcon, something fast and with sharp talons.
Maybe even two of them. So they are twins.
What? I don't want to answer for everybody. Sorry.
Clearly, Haya and I are the ones that exist on this like brain wavelength.
What?
I've actually never really thought about it for myself, but like I'm on the internet enough.
Yes. Yeah,
I'd be a llama just because of how much spit comes out while I'm recording.
Oh, no.
Gross.
I thought it was just their general floof.
I mean, if it was like general floof, he'd be like not an Afghan hound. They have like the coily fur, but like whatever dog it is that has like the long, luxurious, silky fur, that would be Sean.
or a sheep. I randomly get things stuck in my hair, like they get brambles in their fur.
You have long, straight, silky hair, though. Maybe you'd be like a Highland cow. The floofy cows, yeah.
They're so cute.
I always thought a twin sounded like a cat, though.
A cat?
Because, like, he's quiet. He's not bulky, but he's very, like, lithe.
If you get him wet, he gets really mad.
I mean, that depends entirely on the cat. If you're looking at big cats, a lot of them swim.
Yeah, that's like a panther or something. Or, like, an otter. I don't know why. I just think of him just, like, kind of lean, and he's lean and mean.
We have a very noodly party. Like, ferret, otter, mongoose.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone who submitted questions. As always, you can submit questions to us via email. show@thecrackdiepodcast.com, or you can submit them via our Discord, which we have a link in if you are a patron.
Or the actual way, Sean.
Oh, what is that? What is that?
Oh my gosh.
Remember that we have a form that we ask people to submit their questions to, and it's linked in every show at the very bottom.
There's also that. You could do that because that's the best way. You should ignore the last things I said.
If you want us to answer on air as part of one of these Q&As, please use the form. If you want to chat with us, I think it's our, is it like the $2 level or the $5 level that gets you
access? $5 level.
$5 level will get you access to our Discord where you can chat with us and other patrons. And if you have other stuff that's urgent, you don't need us to talk to you about it on air or anything, that email's great too.
Thank you, Christine. That's
yes, thank you.
Oh, I thought of a regret.
Oh, yes, yes. What's your regrets?
I regret that there is no Earthbreaker in this version of Pathfinder.
Yes. Except that made my GMing a whole fucking nightmare.
Because in Pathfinder's first edition, you crit on like just 20s. It wasn't like the plus 10, minus 10 thing. And it had a crit of like times 3 or times 4, but it only crit on 20s. But my character in Crimson Throne would always seem to crit on like the bosses. So he was big and strong, fighter. And then if we'd roll up to like some like this owlbear skeleton just like lurches out of like the darkness and the catacombs at us. It's like, ah! And then I just like one shot it with this giant fucking hammer, and then just to have Hyatt just seething and also crying.
Listen, I like set it up really nicely. Like I gave like the thematic description of it to make it extra spooky. And of course we were using the lighting to, you know, add all that much to it. And I think Brent was playing in that game too. He's like, oh, that totally makes it creepier. And what does Matt do? He ruins my fun. So I understand, Sean. I understand your pain. Anyway, bye-bye, friends.
Bye.
That's the end. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Adios.
Love you all. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week with a standard episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Cracked Die Podcast. Please visit us at crackeddiepodcast.com. Pathfinder 2nd Edition and the Age of Ashes Adventure Path are property of Paizo. Background audio was provided by Sirenscape, because epic games deserve epic music. Please visit them at sirenscape.com. Additional background music was provided by Tabletop Audio. Visit them at tabletopaudio.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Tabletop Audio. This episode was edited by Nathan. Please visit them on Twitter at @editingnate. Finally, thank you to all our patrons for assisting us in making this. If you would like to join our Patreon, please visit us at patreon.com/crackeddiepodcast.